Hello, Symphony family. Today we are kicking off a new book, so let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Amen. So here is some context on Colossians. The church of Colossae was started by Paul's co-worker, Epaphras. While Paul was imprisoned for his faith, Epaphras visited him, sharing that the church was doing great, but were under some pressure with their faith, which we'll get to more in tomorrow's chapter. Paul kicks off his letter thanking God for the Colossians' faith, love, and hope, encouraging them with the assurance that the disciples are praying for them without ceasing. Verses 9 to 14 won't be the focus on today's devotional, but I encourage you to read them. It is filled with words of love and Paul's heart for this church. And if someone prayed this over me or for Symphony, I'd be so grateful. And perhaps today we can pray those words over someone else today, learning to intercede for others in this way. But continuing on, Paul then writes what is called a Christological poem, or the Messianic poem, which really is the heart and meat of the first chapter. It beautifully highlights who Jesus is. It says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, verse 15. Here, Paul is equating Jesus to God. Jesus was not similar to God, but is God, the image of the invisible God. Jesus is also the creator of all things, through him and for him. He has preeminence over all things, physical, spiritual, all thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities. He reigns supreme as he created them. Jesus is also the head of the body, aka the church, which includes you and me and our church symphony. And this is my favorite verse of this chapter, verse 19. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. I love that the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus. The fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus, Christ incarnate. He came to dwell amongst us, undeserving sinners, and God was pleased to do so, and was ultimately moved to demonstrate his love for us on the cross because of the joy set before him. I also love that Christ's preeminence does not just end with him being supreme, but also being good. He is our reconciler. I recently watched the new Guardians of the Galaxy 3 movie, and I don't want to spoil the plot, so I just want to share with you the antagonist. His name is the High Evolutionary, and he creates planets and basically reigns supreme amongst them. He is their god. But if there are any flaws, he just wipes them clean with no regard to their life. In that Marvel universe, or at least amongst his own created planets and creations, he is, quote, preeminent. He reigns supreme. But he is not good. His heart is void of goodness and justice. And you can watch the movie to figure out why. But here we see that Jesus is not only the one true God who reigns truly above all, but he is also good. He is so good, and even when we were dead in our sins, he chose to love us and chose to dwell amongst us. Verse 20 says that we were alienated and hostile in our mind by doing evil deeds, but through him we are now presented holy and blameless and above approach. What gift of grace. With that, I have two application steps for us today. One, let's look to Christ. Ask the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to help us to see Jesus rightly, not with our tainted, earthly, fleshly eyes, but with spiritual eyes to see the fullness of Christ, to see our God. Perhaps today you can reread those verses 15 to 23 and really reflect on who Christ is. Number two, let's give thanks for who he is. We can respond with thanksgiving. He is preeminent. He is the head of the body. He is good. He is reconciler, redeemer. So let's respond with prayers of thanksgiving as we acknowledge him today. Let's pray. Jesus, we look to you today, and we thank you for this rich passage with this beautiful poem of who you are. Jesus, you are so beautiful. Help us to gaze upon your beauty and to behold your presence today, for you are far more precious than all the riches of this world. So may you be the delight in our hearts today. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.